good to go.
Okay, can everybody hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to bring this meeting to order. Friday, April 17th, 2020, 2:30. Can we get a roll call, please, Danielle?
Joe Spear.
Here.
Sharon Hartung.
Here.
Richard Heath.
Here.
Ken Range.
Yes.
Roy Davis.
Here. Are there any modifications, additions, and/or changes to the agenda as written? That'd be a no.
Yes, Roy, there is.
Okay, who am I talking to?
This is Gary.
Gary, what's the addition?
Action item D, engagement letter for bond counsel.
Okay. So we have an addition to the agenda. It will be action item D. It is the engagement letter for a bond. So with that being said, can I get a motion to accept the agenda as amended?
I make a motion to accept the agenda as amended.
Can I get a second, please?
This is Ken, second.
Thank you, Ken. Danielle, roll call, please.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. At this time, are there any declaration of potential conflicts of interest from any people on the board?
No.
That'd be a no. Okay, so we've already approved the agenda. We're going to go to public comments. I have none before me. We are going to go down to action items. Action item A, SDIS Employee Healthcare Plan. Gary, you want to start off with that?
Yes. So every year we need to renew our healthcare plan for our employees, and I'm requesting just to keep the same plan moving forward.
Any questions from the board on that statement from Gary about the SDIS Employee Healthcare Plan?
No here.
No questions. Could I get a motion to accept Gary's proposal to keep the SDIS Employee Healthcare Plan the same and move forward? Could I get a motion to make that?
I didn't know it was on the phone. I thought it would be on your cell phone. Landline. I'll be damned.
Could I get a motion, please, to accept Gary's
I'll make the
proposal?
Motion. I'll make the motion, Roy. Motion to approve okay. SDIS Employee Healthcare Plan for 2020 and allow the port manager to sign the contract.
Can I get a second on that motion?
I second it.
Joe Spears seconded. Motion carries. Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Richard?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Moving to action item B, COVID-19 reevaluation of port operations and finances. Gary, we're going to take off on that, please.
Sure. As everyone knows, the COVID-19 pandemic has created havoc to our economy and our businesses here at the port. So, and also it shut down our RV park. It's pretty much, well, it stopped tourist travel. So we're looking at our finances, and if things continue, we might run into a problem with shortfalls in some of our general funds. So basically I'm asking the board to use our reserve funds as needed to fill in the gaps. I need the board's approval to use that money. And also this opportunity that the commissioners and anybody else can talk about what's happened the last time we had a meeting here at the port.
Any comments for Gary on using the reserve funds. Any commissioners have any input on that?
Yeah, this is Richard. I do.
Hi, Richard.
Gary, have you had any success in talking to the bank about a line of credit?
Well, we did talk to the bank just before this meeting, and a line of credit is not going to work for the port. Line of credits have to be paid back by the end of the fiscal year. So I don't think that's a good option for the port. I think the best option right now we got is our working with Business Oregon for a relief plan on our payments. And that's kind of still in the works of what kind of relief plan we might be able to get from them. So that's still in the works. But the line of credit is not, I don't see that being an option for us at this time.
Okay, so the way I read this document, it looks like we have around $400,000 total available to be spent.
That's if you include all restricted funds. And I don't really want to look into using our debt funds at this time. I just want to use our reserve fund, because that's, you know, that reserve fund is, you know, for future use, but for probably emergencies and whatever else we can come up with using that money for. So I'd rather not touch the debt funds until we absolutely have to.
Okay, so the reserve funds would, if we stay operating as we are right now, would take us how far?
It's really hard to tell, because some people are still paying. So if everybody stopped paying, it would be a couple months worth. But we still have people paying, so it might extend a little bit longer. But I mean, it is used as needed. I hope we don't have to use it. I'm just looking at, you know, if we have to use it, I don't really want to come up to another special meeting immediately and try to get approval to do it. So,
well, I'm just trying to discuss all the potentials here. Right. You know, we don't. The problem with this whole furball is none of us know in 2 months what's going to be going on. I mean, we don't have any idea. Are we eligible to apply for any kind of federal help on this or anything like that you know of, or state help?
Right now, there's nothing that I know of. Everything that the government's passed is all small business, private businesses. I know the Congress and back in Washington are working on a local government plan, but, you know, I don't know when that's going to happen, and that's got to, you know, be passed by the Senate and also the president. So, you know, right now the best thing we got is working with Business Oregon, which I'm doing, give them weekly updates on our finances, and they're going to come up with some kind of a proposal next week, I believe. So we may have another special meeting when that proposal comes to us to look at. But as of now, there's no help for local governments.
So the worst case scenario is we get out to the end of 2 months and there's nothing on the horizon. What do we do then?
We tap into our debt funds if we have to. And that all depends on if people are, you know, the tenants are paying. If our RV park stays closed, that's going to be a big hit regardless. But, you know, if our tenants don't pay, which they, you know, the governor has allowed them 3 months of non-payment if they have their excuses of why they're not paying. You know, it's like a crystal ball. Looking at a crystal ball and trying to judge what's happening. You know, in my packet here, I'm looking at worst case. If we didn't get any more payments from anything, we've got a couple months to work on. That's if the RV park took their refunds too. So, I mean, I'm kind of leaving that $100,000 for refunds in case people start taking the refunds, you know, we could zap their account big time if we don't account for that. So.
And we already showed.
Well, I think it's fair. I don't know if the people that are listening on the phone have this package in front of them, but it's worth noting that our monthly bills just for utilities are running $22,500. Insurance is running $17,000. Those are things we're not going to not be able to pay. So, you know, whether we get money or not, we're still paying that out, plus salaries for the few people that we have left. So, you know, that's not an insignificant amount. And I don't think a lot of people understand how much it costs to run this port, just those items alone. Not talking about buying fuel and reselling fuel and all the other things that go on, but how much of our income did we lose when we shut down the RV park and we allowed the businesses some grace on their rent?
Just from last week to the previous week, 50%.
So Kim just said we lost 50% just from last week.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking all these questions, I don't want to belabor this, but I just want to frame this whole discussion so that all of us clearly understand what we're talking about here. I think we need to do absolutely everything we can do to not shut this place down, because starting it back up would be a nightmare.
Right. Right. I agree. I mean, that's one reason I want to use the reserve fund if we absolutely have to. And then what if we use the money all up in the reserve fund? I'd be coming back and asking to use money for the debt. You know, we have another $120,000 in our restricted debt funds that we could actually tap into. If we had to go into that, then I would go into that next. I mean,
okay.
But I don't want to do that. Actually, I don't want to use any of that money. I want to try to survive on what we have in our general fund. But I just want to have that opportunity to use that reserve fund as needed.
Well, I will just point out that I'm sure everybody else feels the same way. This is really devastating, given the amount of work that you guys have done to get our debt restructured, get things going in the right direction, kind of give us a little room to maybe staff up a little bit like we did to help out around the port, and then have this happen. It's almost crushing.
Yes, it is.
That's all my comments, Roy.
Okay, thank you very much, Richard. Good comments. Are there any other comments for Gary before I call for a motion?
Yes, Roy.
Ken? Go ahead, Ken, please.
I know, I realize everything is in jeopardy, but we're sitting there with $100,000 in reservations through August. Do you know the ratio of how many are non-residents of Washington, Oregon, or California?
No,
unfortunately, we don't have that data.
Okay.
We could try researching it through our reserve site, but we don't have that handy.
Well, the only reason I ask is we may be in a situation where we could take Washington, California, but not take the others. So I'm just curious what percentage that might be, but time will tell, I'm sure, on that. The other question I have is, how much fuel do we have in our tanks at this point in time? Half full, quarter full?
As of this morning, we have 5,000 gallons in diesel, and we have 3,000 gallons in gas.
And how long does that fuel last before it degrades any? I mean, will it last 2 months, 3 months?
Easily last several months. It probably lasts longer than that because our tanks are well secured. It's usually, if you have problems, it's, you know, you get water or something going into it, but our tanks are well kept. That fuel probably lasts quite a bit, quite a while.
Well, I don't know how long this fuel crisis is going to last, where the tanks are, everybody's tanks are full and there's a surplus. Seems to me this would be the time to buy and fill our tanks if we have that option. And it's as cheap as you're going to get it right now. And, you know, if we're not going to endanger the quality of our fuel, that's just a comment.
Yeah, no, we agree. Travis and I, actually Travis looks at it a lot more than I do, but he keeps an eye on that and when to buy. And it's really helpful when the commercial fishermen let us know when they're going to take 3,000 or 4,000 gallons, and then we can plan for it, type of thing. But it's when they don't plan, they just show up and they take 3,000 or 4,000 gallons, then it's tough to manage when you get big boats taking that kind of fuel. But we're managing it pretty well.
Yeah, I'm just saying it would be a good investment if all the prices are down. That's the only comments I have.
Ken, I am looking at buying fuel again here shortly. Really for us to get that lower price too, from the fuel companies, I need to wait till our tanks are almost at empty to be able to get full trucks to come down, which maximizes the savings that we can get.
Perfect.
Thank you, Travis. Sharon, any questions from you?
No, I think everybody's asked everything, and I just want to thank the staff. Boy, they're really doing a great job trying to stay on top of everything.
So what is the motion he wants here? No, I gotta, what would it be?
It's right here, there's several on that page, but it's just a top one.
All right, can I get a motion for action item B, the COVID-19 reevaluation of port operations and finances?
Roy, do you want to just deal first of all with the reserve funds? Because I don't think we've talked about the rest yet.
That's what we're doing, yeah.
Right. You guys are going to be looking at recommended motion number one at the top of the commissioner actions, and then the option 1, 2, 3, 4 that you see there. Will be motion number two for the next conversation that we're going to have.
Okay, so
Let's do the reserve fund, Richard.
I will move that we authorize the use of the reserve fund for the port to stay in business.
Can I get a second on Richard's motion, please?
I second it.
Joe seconded it. Roll call, Danielle, please.
Richard?
Yes.
Joe?
Yes.
Ken?
Yes.
Sharon?
Yes.
Roy?
Yes. Next conversation, Gary.
Yeah, the next conversation is pretty much an opportunity for commissioners and my staff to make any comments about how things are going here at the port. So I'll kind of leave the floor open to any commissioners that want to talk about the fish station. Just go down the line. Let's talk about the fish station first. And move on to the next item.
If anybody doesn't mind, I'd like to jump in just because I see it every day, and then you guys kind of can go off us from every day from what I've seen. There's been numerous days where fishing hasn't been able to even happen. On the days that it has been able to have for people to go out, there is at times that the fish station gets extremely busy. I know early on before we added signs, there was a lot of people in there. So we took steps of closing down one side of the cleaning tables. We put up signs. One of the sets of signs we had said 4 users at a time. I think that was getting confused at how many people. So we changed the signs again to 1 user at a time. And the user, just so you guys know, it's for if, you know, there's a family or something that's in there, you know, families are allowed to be next to each other. So it's just 1 user that's per each side of the table first. Since the sign's been up, you know, the general compliance has been good. There is a few people, you know, individuals that don't follow it, but as far as what I've seen and as a recommendation, I guess, that the majority of the public is doing a good job of managing their social distancing. And I my recommendation would be to keep it open as of this point.
Yeah,
So Roy, this is Richard.
Yes, Richard.
So you all saw the email I sent to Gary. So by nature, because I'm, I guess from a scientific background, I prefer to document and observe, or observe and document. So what you saw for me was what I have observed down there. And whereas the compliance rate that I'm showing you is pretty small, so are the numbers of people that were involved pretty small. And what I'm seeing, in my opinion, is that people are getting a lot of conflicting information, number one. They're not sure what to believe, not sure what to do. I guess everybody gets to interpret essential trips and that sort of thing on their own. But it is my observation that while they're in their car or at their house or in their boat, compliance with what the governor asked is, I guess, up to them. But I think people need to realize when they're in port property, then that's a little different circumstance. And we do not, as a port, do not have the choice to say, oh, well, we'll just ignore it and walk away from it. My understanding of the instructions from the governor to all businesses were that the business be responsible for making sure that their users maintain social space. I visited with both Melanie and Trinity down there, who are there all the time, and asked them what they thought. They both were of the opinion that it's going pretty well. There's not a lot of issues. Yes, there are people who aren't complying, but it's not gotten out of hand. I also talked to them to make sure they were clear on what we intended, one person per table, and they are. So at least from my perspective, having been down there a lot of days now, I would certainly not recommend we close the station. But at the same time, you know, I have to admit, I have a pretty selfish interest in this. And that interest is that, you know, there were about 60 people who spent 7 days on the phone last week trying to get a salmon season for the West Coast. And believe me, we spent an awful lot of that time talking about COVID-19 and what the implications were and trying to figure things out. The states are reacting differently. Washington has shut recreational fishing down, period. California, if they haven't got it done, they were intending to have their commission give their director the authorization to shut fishing down on an as-needed basis. And Oregon has already sent out 2 news releases now telling people that, you know, if things don't, if people don't pay attention to this and we have problems, that they're going to consider shutting down recreational fishing as well. So the selfish part of this is I don't want to see that happen. After going to all that work and having all those people spend that much time trying to do it, I certainly do not want to lose our salmon season or any of our ocean fisheries. But at this time, I wouldn't, my personal recommendation is that we leave it open and hope that people will think about something other than what they want and think about what this means to the community, to the port, and everybody else down there, because this is serious. That's it.
Roy's in the restroom, you guys, so he'll be here in just a second. I haven't got nothing to add. I agree with Richard, so keep it open.
Ken, you got anything?
Nope.
Sherry?
Yes. I also have been monitoring the launch ramp and the cleaning station as well. I go there every day, and of course some days it's been windy, so they haven't been out, but the days they are there, I'm there, and maybe even a couple of times a day. Overall, everybody is adhering to the social distancing, and every now and then one person will screw up, but it's usually it was a father and a son, and he said, "It's my son." And I'm like, well, it says one person at the table, and they're like, okay, so then they go and comply. So overall, I don't see a problem at this time. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Ken, do you have any comments?
No, I agree. Keep it open.
Okay, very good. Joe, any comments?
No, I agree. Keep it open.
Yep, I agree with everybody as well. I've been down there every day as well, several times a day, and seems to be working well. You know, we can always revisit it. So, do we need to make a motion on this or just table this? And
no, we don't need to make a motion on it.
No, absolutely. Okay. Moving on to option two, motion to close beachfront parking until coronavirus is over. Comments from the board? Option two?
This is Sharon.
Okay,
go ahead.
Richard. Again, I've gone down there and done that little survey. What I was mainly interested in is whether we were seeing any unusual patterns. It looked to me like use is about normal, maybe up a little bit. I think the percentage of non-resident vehicles is probably about normal. I think most of those folks are either here from some other state long term, or they're from somewhere close to us in California. I have not seen not one single problem with social distancing down there in the whatever number of days I've done that now, 13 or 14 days down there. So I don't see an issue with that in terms of people abusing that.
Thank you, Richard. Sharon?
Yes, what I did was I monitored all the cars that were down there. And so the ones that were from out of state, I used my mask and I did approach the people and I asked them where they were from and how long they'd been here. Everybody that I talked to, some had been here 14 months and some had been here 3 months and 2 months, but they have been here. So I didn't get anybody other than the ones that are like from Fort Dick. They said they were, you know, some worked here and some people were here shopping and stuff like that. So social distancing, they seem to be doing well there too. Thank you.
Thank you, Sharon. Ken, do you have anything? Did I call on you, Ken, yet?
No, I have nothing more on that.
Okay. Joe, you have anything to say?
No.
I agree with everybody else too. I don't see a problem with the social distancing at the beachfront parking. Moving on to option three, motion to close all public restrooms. Richard?
I'm not making a motion.
No, I'm just asking. We're going to speak on the option three, motion to close all public restrooms.
Well, as with everything else, Roy, I don't see a need to do it.
Okay.
We haven't seen any what I would call really overt or even covert abuses of this. People are being pretty good down there.
All right. Thank you for that, Richard. Ken?
Yeah, I'd like to hear from Travis. I right now I'd be inclined to say we keep them open, but I don't know what staff feels or how they feel on it.
Travis, can you give us some input, please?
Yeah, so far the bathrooms, the use has been normal. There's nothing out of line that's happening. We do have all the necessary PPE for our employees to be able to do it. In the event that they feel like they need more, we have as much as they need. I, at this point, have no reason to say to close them, so that's all.
Thank you, Travis. Sharon?
No, as long as the employees have everything that they need, it's just I was reading here that they had wrote that the employees are not comfortable cleaning the restrooms. So is there anything that we can do to help them feel safer?
Yes, when that was first wrote, you know, we had some employees that reevaluated themselves cleaning the bathrooms, which kind of led us down a path that we weren't sure what we were going to do. But we do have three total employees that are more than willing and able to get that job done. And like I said, we have Tyvek jumpsuits, masks, gloves, face guards, eye protection. We have pretty much over the top for cleaning our bathrooms. And right now we have the employees that are currently on staff that are willing and able to do it.
Thank you, Travis.
Thank you, Travis. Joe?
No, I'm fine.
Okay, I agree with everybody else on this one as well. Moving on to option four, motion to close public use of boat launch ramps. Richard?
Well, I feel the same as I do about the cleaning station. I haven't seen an issue there. You know, I hope that one thing I would point out is, you know, I hope everybody doesn't get real complacent about this, because we're about to go into our summer season and we may have an influx of people from out of town. They most likely will not be from out of state unless ODFW releases the closure on out of state non-resident fishing. I will tell you, I had a pretty long conversation today with ODFW in Newport about the halibut season, and they're wrestling, because you know our recreational halibut opens May 1st, and they're wrestling with the issue of what to do about that. And at the current time, their thinking is that they're going to ask the commission to delay that. There's two issues there. North of Florence, there are, to the best of my knowledge, there are no boating facilities open right now to trailer launching boats. So that would create an awful lot of issues up there. On all-depth open halibut days, Newport puts over 400 recreational boats over the bar every day for that. So it's a big deal. So they're looking to delay the opener a little bit to try and get some further down the road and figure out where this is all going. So with that said, I don't see any need to close the boat ramp or any of the port facilities or recreational fishing.
Thank you for that input, Richard. Ken, do you have any input?
No.
Sharon, do you have any input?
Nope, leave it open.
Joe?
Nope.
Okay, I agree with everybody else. So everything stays open. We'll move on to action item C, port lease deferment plan. Gary?
Yeah, so the last meeting in April 2nd, the board approved a deferment plan, and Governor Brown actually had an executive order that was kind of supersedes the port's plan. Her plan is for 3 months for tenants to have to potentially not pay, but they have to actually prove why they're not paying or pay whatever they can pay. So Port Legal Counsel recommended to cancel our previous deferment plan and just see how things go the next 3 months and then revisit it. Yeah, and work off the governor's order. So the governor may come back and have a further updated plan too. So we just need to wait and see what happens with our tenants. So the motion here would be canceling our previous approved plan and to follow the governor's executive order.
Any comments from the board, Richard?
Yes, I do have some comments on this one, Gary. So it was my understanding when we did this that if a tenant informed you that they wanted to defer their rent payments, you were going to amend their lease and work out a repayment schedule. Isn't that, did I understand that right?
Yes.
But the governor's order does not do that, correct?
That is correct.
Well, I guess from my perspective, I kind of like the idea better of having the port manager and the tenants sit down and talk about repayment and make sure that we're of all of the same understanding of how that's going to go. The governor's order, if it is put in place and they can defer up to 3 months rent, and then at the end of 3 months, jump back in, everybody's going to be asking the question, number one, do I have to pay this back? And number two, if I do, when and how? And it seems to me that our original understanding would makes it more clear to me as to what's expected.
This is Martha.
Go ahead, Martha.
So, and I agree with a lot of what you're saying, Richard. I think the reason for sort of postponing this is because, well, first of all, there was a conflict in 2 months or 3 months. The governor's order does not, you're correct, it does not relieve the tenant from paying rent. It just says you cannot terminate their lease or evict them during this time for not paying their rent. So it's anticipated that at some point we're going to need repayment agreements with anybody who cannot pay their rent. And that makes sense because, you know, if you can't pay your rent for 3 months, how are you going to jump in on day 91 and come up with all your back rent? It's just not going to work like that for most people. But the thing we don't know is, one, if this moratorium will end up getting extended, or if as it gets closer, the governor comes up with some sort of minimal terms that you need to meet to allow these tenants to pay up so it's more uniform. And we also don't know how many tenants are gonna take advantage of this, which will lead to, which would lead to, you know, what are the repayment terms that the port can afford, so to speak? You know, can we really let everybody, give everybody 12 months to make this up? And we probably need some time of, okay, well, you don't have to start making those payments for 3 or 4 months, but then they're going to have to be equal over the next 8 months. So to kind of see what even the port itself could tolerate, we may need to see, you know, just exactly how many people asked for relief under this executive order. That makes sense. I'm afraid that we may end up with even more conflicting provisions. Maybe at this time, we just kind of see how it goes. And as we get closer, we can come up with a more comprehensive plan as to how tenants are going to pay back their rent that's owed.
Okay. Well, I certainly don't disagree with doing something that's going to ease some of the confusion and conflicting information people are getting, because I'm confused, and I'm sure everybody else is, as to exactly what we're supposed to be doing here. But that makes sense to me. Thank you, Martha.
Yes, thank you, Martha. Ken, any comments from you, Ken?
No.
Sharon?
Okay, so if we take the governor's executive order, then after that ends, then Gary would have to come back and present to us another motion or whatever to work on the repayment plan, right?
Correct.
That's as Martha said, that's correct, Sharon.
Thank you.
Joe, any comments?
No.
Richard, do you want to make a motion?
Well, I can't see it up in front of me, but essentially my motion would be to go ahead stay our previous, okay, here it is. Motion to cancel the port deferment plan that was approved special meeting April 2nd, 2020, and to follow the governor's executive order 20-13. That's my motion.
Second.
Can I get a second on that motion? Sharon seconded. Roll call, Danielle.
Ken.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Sharon.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes. Action item D, engagement letter for a bond.
Yeah, this is an engagement letter. This is an engagement letter for a bond council to review our construction loan for the RV park. This is actually, we got to have this bond council review per the bank rules and regulations. This is something that Martha can't do, so we have to go outside to another law firm to do this. and this is a $12,000 review, and it's going to be tacked on to our closing costs of this loan. So I need the board's approval to basically sign this agreement to get the ball rolling, to get the loan. We've kind of figured the loan should be closing around the end of June if we get the approval today. So the board's okay with doing that, then that's what we need to do to get this thing rolling.
Any comments for Gary on this bond letter? Richard?
Just to make sure I'm perfectly clear, the loan we're talking about here is the RV park loan?
Correct. Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. That's it, Roy.
Ken, any comments?
I just have one question. What's the interest rate on the loan?
2.93.
Thank you.
Yep. Sharon?
No comment.
Joe?
No.
Could I get a motion to accept the engagement letter for bond?
I'll make a motion that we direct the port manager to sign the engagement letter for the bond.
Council.
Thank you. That's what I'm trying to think. For the bond council.
Yes.
Can I get a second on Richard's motion, please?
I'll second it. This is Ken.
Danielle, roll call, please.
Sharon.
Yes.
Joe.
Yes.
Ken.
Yes.
Richard.
Yes.
Roy.
Yes. Moving on to line 5, information items. There are none. So moving on to number 6, commissioner comments. Any comments? Richard?
Yeah, I would really like to compliment the staff on how they handle this cleaning station thing that we've gone through. I think Travis went to extraordinary lengths to try and do his best to figure out how we were going to make that work, to the point of taking a tape measure over there and measuring it and see what was possible. And I think they've done an absolutely exemplary job in handling that situation. This is a hard thing that we're being asked to do, and it's going to take a lot of clear thinking and innovation like that if we're going to get through this appropriately. And I will not hesitate to say it's going to take the willing participation of the public to help us get through this. If they don't, then I don't want to think about what the consequences would be. But at any rate, thank you, Travis and Gary, for handling that way.
Thank you for that, Richard. Ken, any comments from you?
I'd just like to thank the staff and Oregon South Coast Fishermen. Oregon South Coast Fishermen provided 3 of the handrails for the launch ramp, and this port's providing the other 3 plus the labor installing them. One of them has been put in, and they are going to be an asset, especially for our seniors that are getting in and out of boats.
Absolutely, Ken. Absolutely. Sharon, any comments from you?
Well, I think everybody is doing a fine job down here, and I hope that the public will continue to adhere to the social distancing and the things we have to do here at the port to be able to keep our port open and, people fishing and doing their thing. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Sharon. I thank all the staff too. They're doing an awesome job. Joe?
Same here. Just thank the staff for the great job.
All right. Moving to line 7. Next regular meeting date, Tuesday, May 19th, 2020 at 6 p.m. unless otherwise changed. With that, this meeting is adjourned.
What time is it, Danielle?
At 3:14. Friday, April 17th, 2020. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Roy.
Great meeting. Yes, great.